Praise the Lord. I want to take a look at what Israel had to do to get ready to go into Promised Land. The Bible says that, Paul says it, he says, what happened to Israel happened as examples to us. Now, those examples are for us to know what to do and what not to do. Okay? Let's look at Joshua 3, 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the Keah Grove, and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now here we see that the Israelites are about to get ready to go into the Promised Land. You know, I imagine every one of you have been on the night or day before you're going to take a journey, right? You have to get ready for it. You just don't jump and go. If you're going to take a journey, you have to get ready for it. Here the Israelites were going into the Promised Land. They had seen God move for them on many different ways. These Israelites knew about Moses leading them out of Egypt. They knew about the water coming out of the rock. They knew about manna from heaven. They knew about quail coming to give them meat. They knew about their clothes not wearing out. They knew about no one being old and feeble among them. They knew about how God met Moses on the mountaintop. They knew about how God fought for them in different battles that they had when they were outnumbered significantly. But everything that God had already done for them was only a foretaste of what they would get in the Promised Land. You might understand it better by saying it was just the appetizer. What is the appetizer supposed to do? It's supposed to get you ready for the main course. Isn't that correct? Is that not correct? Yeah. Now, here, let's look at some things. Let's look at living in the wilderness and living in the Promised Land. In the wilderness, they could not possess any land at all. In the Promised Land, they could possess all the land that God said belonged to them. In the wilderness, they kept moving toward the promises of God. But in the Promised Land, they lived in the promises of God. In the wilderness, they wandered for 40 years, but in the Promised Land, they could dwell securely in their own place. In the wilderness, they just had enough provision, but in the Promised Land, they got more than enough. You know, God had a miraculous supply for them in the wilderness, which was wonderful, but living in the daily blessings in the Promised Land is even better. You know, some people have said, now, the Promised Land, or Canaan, as some people call it, was a type of heaven. But it couldn't be a type of heaven because there's not anything to possess up there. All we do is receive. There's not any battles to fight. So what is the Promised Land? The Promised Land is our spirit-led life down here. That's what the Promised Land is. Living in the Promised Land is also a picture of the believer living by faith in the abundant promises of God. Now, let's look at this in Joshua 3, 2. So it was after 3 days. Oh, and my wife told me to slow down because y'all were looking last time I preached. Y'all were looking for the scriptures, and I was already half done reading it by the time y'all found them. So I better slow down. Joshua 3, 2. Okay? I'm going to read this. If you got your device there, I'm going to read this from the NKJV, and I'm going to read it from the NLT, so if you want to follow along. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place to go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by the measure, but do not come near it, that you may know by the way which you must go, for you not pass it way before. Now, an NLT says that 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your position and follow them. Since you've never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Now here is God giving specific orders to the Israelites, or instructions, you might say, for them to go into the promised land and how to possess it. We have the instructions from the Lord on how to possess and live in our Christian life here on earth, right here in this book. Here's our instructions. Some people talk about, well, God never talks to me. Well, you hadn't read the Bible, because that's God talking. All right. Now, I want you to notice that they were to cross the River Jordan, and it was flood stage. Everybody knows that that was not something you should do, get in flood water. And then they were to stay a certain distance back from the power of God, the Ark. That's where the Ark of the Covenant, it was in the Holy of Holies. That's where the power and the presence of God resided. And they were to follow the Ark of the Covenant. That is a type of us following the Holy Spirit as He leads and guides us. But we don't have to stay back from Him. He came and dwelt with us. You see, the Spirit of God, the power of God, dwelt in that temple that they built in Jerusalem. And when Christ died on the cross, when He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And He looked up to heaven and said, it is finished, and His head slumped to His chest. That curtain that was around 3 feet wide, and I think some about 20 feet tall, I remember correctly, and it was ripped from top to bottom. And God said, no longer will I reside in houses of stone, but I will reside in my man, my person, mankind that He created. And so they had to stay back, and they had to be given instructions of what to do from God, as God instructed those that were anointed, and only the prophet, priest, and king had the Spirit upon. We have the Spirit within. We don't have to look around and follow something. We have the Spirit of God on the inside of us to lead us and direct us. You know, now He had told them to get ready to go. They were going to live in a new place. They were going to have a new level of blessing. That's what you can have if you learn how to live by faith. You can have a new level of living. You can have a new level of provision. You see, once you become born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's up to you how much of the promises of God come to effect in your life, or realization, we might say, or come into reality in your life. It's up to you. It's not up to God. You can go to heaven and never enjoy any of the provision, any of the promises that He promised you in the Word of God. Amen. See, they went into the promised land, but then they had to possess the promised land. They had to take it. Sometimes there were battles. Sometimes they took it in different ways as God led them and directed them. He led them to march around the walls at Jericho, and they fell down. Now, when they went to Ai, they had to go down there. They had to actually fight. and in some of the other places that I'm going to tell you what, the enemy will come against you with everything he has, trying to keep you from receiving the promises of God. You may never have to roll up your sleeves and physically fight, but you've got to fight the good fight of faith that Paul called it. He said, I fought the good fight of faith. What's the good fight of faith? It is telling the devil where are the enemy of us, our soul, where to get off, because the word of God says, when he tells you that you know how you're not going to get enough, I am too. I serve a God that's God of more than enough. He supplies all of my needs. When he tells you you can't do it, you have to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It doesn't matter whether it's spiritual. You know, some people, oh, yeah, that's spiritual. No, it says all things. And I want you to tell, there's no qualification there. You go study it out in the language, and you'll find out there's no qualification. It says all things. That means spirit and natural.
Amen.
You got to believe that, and you can possess that. You see, this was going to be a new day for the Israelites. We can have a new day every day by possessing the promises of God.
Yes.
Every day. See, no, they didn't travel through the land anymore. They went into land that they could, that, you know, that they owned. They weren't just having just enough to get by, because that's what they had traveling through the wilderness. They had just enough. Now, they were at a pivotal point. They had to make a choice whether they were going into the promised land or not.
Yeah.
If you'll go read the tribe of Reuben, I believe it was, and half tribe of Manasseh, if I remember correctly, they chose to stay on the other side. Hello? And yet, the wilderness is there. They still chose to stay there. They chose not to go in. Now God said, all right, if you want to stay here, okay, but you got to send some people with, send some of you people with them so that they can help them battle.
That's right.
and take the promised land.
Yes.
You know, you can either decide to step into a new level of living with God, or you can be content where you are. You can either wake up with a new day or have the same old day that you have always had. See, we have a choice to rise up and receive everything that God said belongs to us.
Amen.
You know, I want all God has for me.
Amen.
You know, it's time for us to realize that he's already done. You know, some people say, oh, Lord, do this for me. Oh, Lord, do that for me. Hey, he's already done it all. All you got to go in here and find out about it and begin to claim the promises of God.
Amen.
He's already done it. Now, Israel, he told them to prepare themselves, sanctify themselves, purify themselves, one translation. Consecrate is another word that would be used there. And another thing that you could say is do the purification rituals, prepare themselves. You see, before they were to ever go in the temple, they had these sanctifying pools. They walked down in them. If you go to Jerusalem, you'll see them outside the temple. They could not go into the temple. They couldn't go into the presence of God unless they were sanctified, and they walked down one steps and they come up the other steps, because they couldn't come back up those because they'd be contaminated. And that was the ritual. He said for them to get ready according to the covenant and get ready to move out. Now, he is telling them this so they can get themselves ready. We, with the Spirit of God living within inside of us, should be continually ready to follow God. See, they were getting themselves sanctified to follow God. You say, well, they weren't following. Yeah, they were the Ark of the Covenant. That was the power and the presence of God. And that's what they were to follow. You see, we need to realize that we need to be ready. Now, some of us say, well, I'm born again, and I'm filled with the Spirit, and I follow God. Yeah, but are you dealing with doubt and unbelief? Have you got rid of that? Are you feeding every day on the Word of God? Come on now. Don't shout me down. Go, I'm just preaching good here. If you want to be ready to receive the promises of God, then you have got to get into a place of faith, and you get into a place of faith by reading the Word of God. It said faith, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Amen.
So actually, you can't please God until you start having faith in his promises. And believing what he said. Now, Paul, he patted the Thessalonians on the back and he said, we're bound to thank God for you always because your faith grows exceedingly. In fact, my dad has a book out there. I don't know whether they got one here or not, but there's one called Exceedingly Growing Faith. He talks about that our faith can grow. We build how does our faith grow? By feeding on the Word of God. How do you build your muscles up? By working out, exercising. You know, how do you keep your body strong and not weak? By taking in food.
That's right.
Food, you talk to a nutritionist, they'll tell you food is fuel for the body. It takes fuel for the body to operate properly. And I'm not going to get into all that junk. But anyway, we build our faith by feeding on the Word of God, reading the Word of God daily, feeding on the Word. And then when the enemy comes against us, if we've been feeding on the Word of God, we can immediately begin to refute him immediately. If he comes to us with fear, we can say, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind.
Amen.
If he comes to us and says, well, you're just so unworthy, you don't think you can get anything, you can say, the Bible says I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. The Bible says I'm accepted in the family of God. The Bible says, see, we need to say what the Bible says. My father, most of you have read some of his books. Some of you have heard. How many ever heard him preach in person? Many of you have. How many of you have heard him on CDs or seen him in videos? You come up and you ask that man, well, Brother Hagin, what do you think about this? And he immediately would look you in the eye and say, what does the Word say?
That's right.
What does the Bible say? What does the Word say? Isn't that right, hon? I mean, I'm growing up with him in his house. And I said, Dad, what about this? He said, what does the Bible say, son? You see, everything goes back to what God says right here in his Word. It all goes back there. So you need to have enough of the Word in you that whenever the pressure comes, the Word of God comes out of you. You know, you take a sponge and you soak it in oil and you put pressure on it, oil's going to come out. You take that same sponge and soak it in water, squeeze it, water comes out. When the enemy begins to squeeze you out of in your situations, your circumstances, your problem, out of you needs to come the Word of God.
Right.
When he begins to squeeze you down, you need to say, no weapon formed against me will prosper.
Amen.
Come on now. We need to realize that we need to follow God. Every day, see, they told them tomorrow God was going to do exceedingly great things among them. Hey, God's going to do exceedingly great things for us if we're ready, prepared, and believe in God.
Amen.
How do you get ready, prepared, and believe in God? By getting right here in the Word. In the Word. What does the Bible say? See, you got to come to the point that you have what I've got written right here in my Bible. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. K-E-H-K-W-H.
Amen.
My dad had that in his Bible. So I wrote it in mine, put his initials there first, then I put my initials. See, the Bible says that I believe that settles it. So you got to get to the point that there is nothing that comes against the word. That's it. That settles it. Yeah, but you don't know how I have been, what all I've done. You don't know what's happening in my life. I don't care what, I don't need to know. All I know is that God said, if you would believe him, that he would touch your life. He'll change your life. He'll heal you. He'll make the crooked place straight. It's what the Bible says. I'm just saying what the Bible says. So I said, well, man, you're really positive. Well, if you ever read the Bible is positive. Come on now. Ready, prepared, and believing God. God is working to bring the abundant promises of his word into your life if you will simply believe him. God is a dealer in abundance, not lack.
Amen to that.
God doesn't want us just to live on barely get along street. Now, right down next to Gong Gong Avenue. He wants us to live in what the Word says. The enemy wants to do that because according to what it says in John 10:10, the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the enemy wants. But I have come, Jesus said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Life. Not just life, but more abundantly.
Yes,
I want more than just life with God. I want the abundance. And you see, life with God comes whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But the abundant life comes whenever you begin to understand the promises of God and begin to live in line with the promises of God and quote what God says and do what God says to do. See, he is leading us to have the maximum, super abundant, over the top blessing. Not just a blessing. He said more abundantly. That's a super abundant, over the top.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, I know people are going through things, but let me tell you what. The Bible says that, and David said it in the Psalms, he said, I have my troubles, but the Lord has delivers me out of them all.
Amen.
Not just part of them,
all
of them. The Lord delivers me out of them all. You're going to go through some things. You're going to go through some valleys. But don't pitch a tent and camp. Going through. Old Mike Perkey, I listen to a lot of country gospel. He sings a lot of good country gospel music, you know, and that's why I listen to him quartet. But he has a song that says, whatever you're going through, you're going through.
Yes,
why? Because God.
Yes.
Because God is there. Whatever you're going through, you're going through. And I played that song many times this past year. Whatever you're going through, you're going through. Amen.
Amen.
God, it's not too late. God will show up when you start putting him to the test and tell him, okay, God, here it is.
That's right.
Someone said, oh, now you've gone into ordering God. No, I'm not ordering God around. I'm just telling God, okay, this is what you said. And this is what I expect.
Right.
How many of you in here have had children or got grandchildren? Have you ever told them, okay, you do such and such, and I got 5 grandsons from 24 to 14. You do such and such, and Poppy will do this. We'll do this. All right. When they have done that and they come and ask me about that, are they trying to order me around, or are they just asking for what I already told them that would happen?
That's right.
Yes.
And you see, we are not ordering God around. All we're doing is asking for what he's already promised.
Lord.
That's all we're doing, asking what. Somebody, oh, you can't order God. No, you can't order God around, but you sure can ask him for what he's promised you. Hello? You sure can do that, you know? And God's not going to do my dad. I used to go and tell Dad, well, Dad, you owe me $5. He said, I drove the owe you always, son, and beat you out of it. That was his little joke with me all the time. He'd do that to me. But that's not God. He's going to say, hey, I promised it. You've come in faith, believing, and now here it is. You see, it's up for us to take the step of faith and believe what God said right here in this word. Not what some preacher said, not what somebody else said, what the God said in the word. I want you to notice I haven't tried to say anything except what God said.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people say, well, I've heard preachers do it before, and I wonder, well, since when does God need you to interpret what he said for them? He'd say, now this is what I think this scripture means. Anybody ever heard somebody do that? Well, I think God meant what he said and said what he meant, and that's it.
Amen.
There's no. Well, we need to put an interpretation to this. No, you don't need to put an interpretation. You don't need to interpret it. God said it.
Right.
He said, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear. That's a flat-out statement.
That's right.
There's no, you know, he said, I will supply all of your needs. I mean, why do we, I better stop right there. I better stop right there. You know, sometimes people have trouble believing God because he told them something, yet they are working at a place and they tell them, okay, your next paycheck, you're going to see a $50 raise. People will go out and make a purchase because their boss told them they're going to get a $50 a week raise. And yet they won't go out and do anything with what God has promised them.
Oh, tell it now.
Yes.
Come on, let's just get real. You see, it's time for us to get ready for God's abundant promise. I didn't tell you, but that was the title of this to start with. God's abundant promise. How do we have God's abundant promise? By believing what he says in his word and asking him and believing for him to accomplish it in our life.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, talk to these people for a few minutes tonight just to stir up their pure hearts, to get them to realize that you are their Father. You're ready there. You're ready to minister to them in every way. You're ready to give to them every promise that you have said in your word. And we thank you as we believe you that every promise in the book will come to pass in our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen and amen and amen. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I don't know, but if there happened to be somebody in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or somebody here that needs to rededicate your life. You say, I know I'm not where I need to be. I just need to rededicate my life. If you raise your hand, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, everybody stand, please. If somebody wants to be prayed for healing, come on down to the front. We need to pray for, here's a cloth or a rotator cup. This is yours, so
yes,
we'll just pray for you right here in the cloth too. And then
that's for a little boy that
little boy's got a disease. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now. We lay hands on this cloth and line what the Bible says. I thank you. The power of God's going into it. Father, I thank you right now for these shoulders, this rotator cuff. Father, I thank you for it to be healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. You know, I was having trouble with this. I couldn't hardly lift my arm and so forth. Go ahead, take that one too. And I started believing God for healing. I mean, I couldn't even lay on it. It hurt, but now I do. No problem. Praise the Lord. I just kept believing God. Devil told me it wasn't going to happen. I'd feel pain. I'd say, I'm not accepting that. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. They told Annette that she had a, what was it?
Torn
meniscus. And the Lord healed her with a prayer cloth. She tied around her knee every night. Praise the Lord. Hey, the word works. See, we're talking about getting the promises of God. That's one of the abundant promises of God. Amen. Praise God. Well, did y'all get anything out of this tonight? I trust you, God. I got something out of this. Hey, next Sunday night right here, and then 2 weeks from now, on the 23rd, we'll have our special carols, candlelight, and communion service. Bring people with you. It's a very, very, very thank you, Jane. Beautiful service. All right. All right. God bless. We'll see y'all next week.